You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Inside Sources.
Inside Sources.
America's voice of reason. Boyd Matheson.
On Utah's home for elevated conversation.
Inside Sources on KSL News Radio.
Well, as we often say on the show, our nation seems to be stuck in this age of rage and season of unreason, and we have to get past all of that. And one of our friends of the show that we are always grateful to have back, who's doing something about it, is our friend Tim Shriver. And of course, Tim, chairman of Special Olympics International, co-creator of the Dignity Index, and 27 other things we could spend the rest of this hour talking about, but we won't go there. We're grateful to have Tim on the show today, along with Natalie Gochner from the Kim Gardner Policy Institute at the University of Utah. And we're going to see if we can't get beyond some of the rage and actually get to some of the reasons. So let's begin.
Think you know the news of the day? Think again with Boyd Matheson on KSL News Radio.
Well, it is time to think again about what we think we know. And I think that's in no other place is that more important than how we talk with each other, not at, not to, but with. And Tim, welcome back to the Beehive State. Great to have you. Natalie, welcome back to the program as well.
Yeah, happy to be in studio with you, Boyd.
You've had a busy day today. We actually did a little recording. I'll put in a pitch for KSL 5 TV. Tim and I had a great conversation that will air on Sunday edition, 9 a.m. on KSL 5 TV, about all of these important topics to the nation and to the state. Since that moment this morning when we recorded that, you've been off up at the University of Utah as an impact scholar. Tell us what the day's been like.
Well, we had a terrific time with the leadership team at the Salt Lake City School District. Mm. You know, schools are places that where, you know, educators are all trained that they put children in front of you, you teach them all. You don't choose which kids you teach. Mm. You don't choose kids. You don't teach kids that you like or you don't like. You don't teach kids who are Republicans or Democrats. You teach all kids, right? So schools are places that have an inherent understanding of the idea that no matter what child comes through the door, we're going to treat that child with dignity. So we're trying to work with educators to help us push forward this idea of dignity at the headline of a school, not just as a subtle understanding, but couldn't we teach children how to communicate with dignity? The answer is we could. Couldn't we study U.S. history and study the examples of contempt and dignity in great political figures? We could. We could study civics. We could study literature and start to understand the way in which dignity works and how it helps us grow and develop, and also understand how contempt and dehumanization works and how it destroys comedy and families and a sense of purpose in the future. So it was great to be with young people. They were asking me. So I was talking to you. We have to treat each other with dignity. And one of the high school kids said, well, don't you think that's kind of be a little bit uncool in high school? And I thought it was such a wonderful and honest question.
Honest, yeah.
You know, because what he was kind of saying was, look, you know, if you want to be like in the in crowd in high school, you got to be snarky. Mm. Maybe you got to be biting. Maybe you have to use some ridicule.
Yeah.
And we got to talking about it, and the young people were all like, yeah, actually, that is what works, but it doesn't have to.
Mm.
And we could treat each other with dignity and still be cool.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was a beautiful lesson to remind us that, you know, sometimes we do things to fit in mm-hmm. that we're not proud of.
Mm-hmm.
The kids were saying, like, that's what we end up having to do to fit in, but we're not proud of it. And we got them in a position where they were saying, hey, let's take a chance on doing it differently.
Yeah, I love that. And I hope their parents will pay attention to that because
yeah, right.
I think the parents are doing the same thing.
That's what teachers say. Kids are not the problem. It's parents. It's the adults. It's the rest of us.
Yeah, you know, as we've talked about this, we have talked about the fact that, you know, we want to have this impact on our politics and our civil discourse. We want to change that dynamic. But that's not likely coming out of the halls of Congress unless we reward good behavior rather than bad behavior. And like our teenagers, if you reward bad behavior, you get more bad behavior.
That's right.
We seem to be doing that with the politics. Natalie, look at it from your perspective at the Kim Gardner Institute. And one, being able to bring someone like Tim in as an impact scholar, I think this has been a unique thing at the University of Utah that I think should be replicated everywhere.
Yeah, this is a credit to our president, Taylor Randall, who basically said, we want to be a top 10 public university with unsurpassed societal impact.
Mm.
He's got a lot of ways that you do that. But one of them is bring these public intellectuals to town that can spread impact.
Yeah.
And I got to go over to Bryant Middle School today, where a new school district superintendent, Liz Grant, is welcoming Tim Shriver to see, you know, several hundred people in her leadership team of the district and learn about dignity.
Yeah.
And just as a reminder, we have a dignity index that is a score from 1 to 8.
Mm.
1 is contempt and 8 is dignity. And you've got school kids in the Salt Lake City School District looking at Tim Shriver, who founded this index, putting up their 5 fingers and a plus sign, meaning we got to be 5 and above on the index.
Oh, I love that.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
These kids are saying, we're not going to be on the contempt side. We're going to be on the dignity side, which in the dignity index, you know, reference is 5 and above.
And Tim, I want the first shirt that says dignity is cool.
But, well, there it is. That might be where we need to get to.
Tell me a little bit more. I love this whole idea. We have so focused on the politics of all of this and that civil discourse side of it. But I love this idea of taking it into history and literature and so many of the other, even into the sciences.
Yeah.
Tell me about that conversation and what that looks like. I love
that. Well, we're just starting to—so here's the thing. Dignity isn't just a means of being nice. It's actually a means of getting things done.
Yeah.
It's a means of creating. Like if you're listening to this and you're about to go home and talk to your brother, your sister, your parents, or your kid, and you know you got a beef to pick with them, and you know you got, I'm just got to stop her from her. You know, she's being such a, he's being this. If you use a little more dignity, if you use I messages, I feel. I'm struggling with, instead of you're this, you're that, you're more likely to get a good outcome. You're more likely to get things problems to be solved. The same thing is true for kids. Kids are more likely to be interested in what the teacher's teaching. They're more likely to be engaged if they think, this is something I can relate to. So if you read Lincoln's second inaugural and you think, well, this is a speech that took place in the 19th century and it's way past, that might feel removed. But if a young person is reading it and analyzing the way the president used dignity, that young person is also thinking how they can use dignity. How does this work in my life? How does this work if I'm interested in politics with the politicians I listen to? Where are they using contempt? Where are they meeting Lincoln's standard? Where are they falling short of it? Or vice, you know, it could be many. I'm just using that as one example. So it all of a sudden brings the content to life. You could read Shakespeare, or you could read To Kill a Mockingbird, and you could think, well, these are good narrative pieces of literature. But you might also listen to Hamlet and think, I wonder where that fits on the dignity index. I wonder how Lady Macbeth scores. And all of a sudden, we hope this will help the content come alive in a way that it makes a difference in the life of the kid.
Yeah, it is so important, and it brings it alive, and it brings it right into the home. Because if the parent is talking about that child's teacher.
Yep.
With a little bit less dignity
or a little more contempt,
everything changes. All right, well, we're going to continue to think again about what we think we know with Tim Shriver and Natalie Gochner. Don't go anywhere. The conversation is just warming up. We'll be right back.
Think again on Inside Sources with Boyd Matheson. Hear elevated conversation on crucial issues. Boyd Matheson on Inside Sources.
Welcome back to Inside Sources here on KSL News Radio. It's great to be with you today. As always, I am Boyd Matheson. If you're just joining us, we're having a crucial conversation with our friend Tim Shriver from the Dignity Index, along with Natalie Gochner from the Kim C. Gardner Institute up at the University of Utah. And as we've been talking about dignity, sometimes we just equate that to politics and civil society and civic speech. And it's so much more than that. I love what's going on and what happened today in terms of young people and getting them engaged in the process. Now we're going to go global. It's been a big week for Utah when it comes to the Olympics. We've got the IOC in town. We've got the ambassador from Ukraine in town. We have Tim Shriver in town.
Good company, Tim.
And Natalie Gochner has been navigating and facilitating all kinds of crucial conversations around this. We were just talking during the break about this whole idea of if you want to host the Olympics, you got to create space. And dignity is a pretty good an important space to invite the world to come into. Natalie?
Yeah, I was on Main Street, Salt Lake City today at the Eccles Theater, and all of a sudden I saw these people walk by, and I was like, good heavens, they're here. It was the IOC. They just hold themselves differently. They're yeah. dressed differently. And, you know, there's someone from China and there's someone from, you know, South America. And, you know, it's just an incredible group of people. You know, we are the preferred choice for 2034. Mm-hmm. It's not done yet.
Yeah.
But we're the preferred choice. And you could make a reasonable argument that one of the big things that we signal to the IOC is that people are welcome here. Mm-hmm. We might disagree, but if you come to Utah, you'll be treated with dignity. You'll be welcome here. And that's the beauty of the Olympic movement, the joy of sport, the joy of competition. It brings people together. They're not going to go to places where there's a lot of contempt.
Yeah.
They're going to go to places that are, you know, treat you with dignity.
Yeah. I think it's been so interesting listening to some of the IOC members just over the last 24 hours. And so many of the comments are around that spirit of volunteerism, that mm-hmm. civil society component, the fact that we have people who speak so many different languages that live and really value the different cultures from around the world. How has that been playing into some of these conversations that you've been facilitating, Natalie?
I think, Boyd, they see Salt Lake City as a place that still prevents problems and still solves problems.
Mm.
And at the heart of that is our ability to get along,
mm-hmm.
you know, to have networks of trust. And I think, Tim, wouldn't you agree that you can't establish networks of trust if you don't recognize the basic dignity in the people you're working with?
Yeah, you have to do that. And I think another thing that I've noticed is that when I hear people here talk about challenges that have come down the pike, I heard my colleague Tammy Pfeiffer talk today about Gail Miller, when there were challenges at the arena here, and there was a sense in which there had been some hateful language used. The leader of the team and a pillar of this community stood up and said, no more. We don't tolerate. That's not the way we roll around here.
Yeah.
There's no place that doesn't have some contempt. There's none of us that don't have some contempt. But the question is, are there people who will stand up to it?
Right.
And are there people who will be the first adopters of an alternative? Are each of us, when we're in a position where we hear ridicule and dehumanization and hatred toward a political figure, toward a social figure, or religious figure, are we going to stand up? The prophet of this church last year, Russell, he spoke about the importance of treating people with dignity when we disagree as a pillar of the faith that is so commonly held in this part of the country. These are people who are not just looking at the problem, but are standing up to it.
Yeah.
And I think that's another very important indicator. And that's kind of what we need now. What we're trying to do with the index is sort of awaken people to the fact you can do better.
Yeah.
You don't have to buy in to the culture of ridicule and dehumanization. You can do better. You can find political figures who can inspire you, religious figures, business figures, academic figures who can inspire, sports leaders. Follow them. And when your turn comes, and when you hear it, and when you see it, and when you sense it in others, stand up and say, that's not me.
Yeah.
That's not us. That's not the way I roll.
Yeah.
I think that's an important feature of the leadership, at least that as I've come to see and admire it here in Salt Lake City and in Utah.
Yeah, I think it's so vital. It's one thing to be passive. I think it's always the difference between being a peacekeeper, which we often talk about after a war, and it's just kind of maintaining, as opposed to being a peacemaker and leaning into all of these opportunities. And I think that's the area, and I think what the index is really striving to do is to provide those tools and that awareness so we can, with confidence, stand up, speak out, say, hey, that's not how we do it around here. I think that's a very different kind of approach than either, I always say it's either the finger pointing, the shoulder shrugging, the finger wagging even, and just doing it different and showing that, hey, we can have a different conversation.
Yeah. And recognizing our own responsibility. I was at a meeting a couple of weeks ago, and a woman said, well, look, I don't know. You want me to treat people with dignity, but I hate hateful people. And it was almost, you know, she just didn't hear that she had become hateful as a way of opposing hate.
Wow.
She just didn't hear it.
That's a wow moment.
It's a wow moment. And it's all of a sudden, whoa, wait a minute. But this is what I'm finding everywhere. I'm finding myself, you know. I just can't. They are those people. And then I think to myself, wait a minute. It's not those people. Let me speak about the issues. Let me speak about the challenge. Let me not demean and humiliate people as a way of advancing my own agenda. So we're all a little bit trapped in the idea that it's become normal to treat people with ridicule. I mean, that's the shock here. It's not the, human beings have always had conflicts. But now, for some reason, we've gotten to a point where it is now normal and accepted to treat people with contempt and dehumanization. That's what we've got to reverse. And that's why when you have the IOC in town and you have the ambassador from the Ukraine in town and you have scholars, people coming from all over the world, it's an indication that they're coming here in part because they see here a kind of a respect for human dignity that they want to buy into. They want to join with. They want to work with. I mean, that's, frankly, that's what I've been so blessed to be a part of. And I feel like it's something that's just getting started. People might be listening thinking, oh, you know, you can't believe the guy I listened to yesterday, or, you know, that's outrageous.
He's
you know,
Yankees fan of all.
Exactly. Or, you know, what I saw last night on Fox or on MSNBC, the outrage, these people are horrible. You may be thinking that that's normal here, but it's starting to change.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to make a difference.
Yeah, and it often does start with those young people. I love we're getting it all the way down to the school K through 12 age. Natalie, you've seen this a lot in terms of what's on campus. I had a fascinating conversation with Mark Roosevelt from St. John's College, liberal arts college in Santa Fe, New Mexico, in Annapolis, where they don't have professors. They just have tutors and conversations. But I asked him, I said, okay, four-year college degree, what is it? What is the essence? What do you hope each student walks away from this university, this college from? And he said, humility. Humility. Because I think that's the beginning of recognizing dignity. But how are you seeing that on campus?
I mean, our president says we don't teach people, we inspire people. And if everyone leaves our, you know, universities feeling inspired about the world, curious about the world, ready to go, you know, deliver, share their talent, their human potential with the world. That's what we need to do.
Yeah.
And I'm so heartened to hear Tim Shriver talk about what he sees here in Utah, because this is my hometown.
Yeah.
That's what I see here, too.
Yeah, no question. Real quick, Natalie, before we stepped onto one last comment from Tim before we go, passing of Ted Wilson, former mayor, someone who understood the political process, someone who worked with both sides of the aisle, someone who understood what it meant to be a community, passed away today. Give us just a real quick reflection on Ted Wilson.
You know, quite a political bio, a Mayor Salt Lake candidate for governor, ran the Hinckley Institute of Politics, University of Utah for many years. Of course, a political family. Jenny Wilson is Salt Lake County mayor. If I had to pick a word, maybe statesman, uniter, lover of Utah.
Yeah.
Great man.
Yeah. Great, great, great. And he and I were actually pen pals over the last 8 years. And some of the most important things I've learned in the last 8 years came from the former Democratic mayor of Salt Lake City, who understood what it meant to be a statesman, to be a
Democrat. Really?
Imagine.
We have them here, Tim.
Yeah.
Such good things and such an extraordinary legacy, extraordinary family. In fact, Jason Perry from the Hinckley Institute is going to join us coming up at 2:35. Tim, before I let you go, give us one last thought. What should we be? What's the therefore what today? What should we be thinking differently? What should we be doing differently today, right now?
Well, you know, I'm going to go to the eclipse. You know, so many people, we've so much news about the eclipse. Some of us went outside. We got our duck glasses on. We watched the moon, you know, slip in front of the sun. Others saw the entirety of the eclipse. I don't think any of us, even if we didn't look, could have imagined something so huge. I mean, the size of these forces in the universe. And I just think if we had a little bit more awe, a little bit more wonder, if we held on for just another minute or two to the sight of the stars at night, we might find ourselves, yes, a little more humble, a little recognizing that we're all small, but also recognizing that the little piece of the universe that we occupy is important, and treating each other with love and respect and dignity is the small gestures we make to try to bring something good into the universe. And our time is short.
Yeah.
Why not use it to make the world a little better?
Yeah, no question. Tim Shriver and Natalie Gochner, thanks so much for joining us today. And that cosmic perspective, we've been talking about it all week. Neil Tyson deGrasse talked about this cosmic perspective, and he actually used the same word, humility. The cosmic perspective is humble. And when you recognize your own space in the universe, yelling at somebody over the internet about a political issue, it's not a good use of time or perspective. And so getting to that kind of conversation is really all the difference. Thanks to both of you for elevating the conversation today to continue to drive the Dignity Index. Tim Shriver, Impact Scholar, visiting here at the University of Utah, part of the Dignity Index. And, of course, Natalie Gochner with the Kim C. Gardner Policy Institute. We're going to go ahead and step aside for some bottom-of-the-hour news. When we come back, our own Carol Makita is going to join us along with Jason Perry as we reflect on a humble statesman who knew what dignity was all about and how to leave a legacy that actually matters. We'll talk about Ted Wilson's legacy coming up next. We'll be right back.
It's finally time to say goodbye to the snow and hello to spring, and right now is the best time to spring into adventure in an RV from a Motorsportsland RV Center. Through this week, come check out Motorsportsland's season kickoff event and find the RV you've been dreaming of. Save thousands and even tens of thousands off MSRP and find your next adventure at a Motorsportsland RV Center today.
Let Motorsportsland help you get away.
Motorsportsland.com.